I'm David Benzel. This is part one of a four-part series of radio interviews for sport parents, done here at Heartbeat Radio, WRHB 1410. This series will cover the four-step journey taught in my book, From Chump to Champ, How Individuals Go from Good to Great. In session one, we talk about guiding our children as they create a big dream.
From Chump to Champ came out about a year ago, and I have a lot of people who really like the title, but they sometimes look at me on a cross-eyed and say, well, what do you mean by that? You know, are you calling me a chump? And I always want to clarify for people, because while it's a catchy little phrase, what it really refers to is the journey that we're all on. We're all on a chump to champ journey. And at any given moment in time, we usually think of ourselves as a champ. At least we should. We should look at ourselves and say, hey, you know, I'm good. I'm trying as hard as I can. You know, I'm okay. But have you ever looked back? Like, if you look a year ago at the person you were a year ago or the person you were 5 years ago, aren't you sometimes just a little bit embarrassed when you realize you've traveled some distance since then? And some of the things you assumed were true then, or certain behaviors that you had then, you look back now and you say, oh my goodness, that I can't believe how far I've come, because I'm glad I'm not like that anymore. An example in my own life. There was a time when, you know, my eating habits weren't as good as they are now, right?
Okay.
All right, white bread, salt, lumpy food, french fries, you know, a little Coca-Cola, and I think, hey, I'm eating pretty well here.
Yeah.
And then I met the woman that became my wife, and she taught me some things that I didn't know. She taught me some things about whole grains, about too much sodium in your diet. She taught me about cholesterol. She taught me about fat content. And I gradually changed my eating habits. So I eat much more healthy. And I drink water. I don't drink soda hardly ever. And I look back on the eating habits I had then, and I think to myself, what a chump. I mean, what a bozo. Maybe bozo would be a better name. And I look at how far I come. And right now, I feel pretty good about what I do. But do you realize that if I continue to learn, there'll be a day tomorrow when I'll look back on today and maybe think, look how far I've come.
Yeah, we'll still hopefully be moving forward. Yeah,
yes, the whole idea is to have a lifelong chump-to-champ journey, where at any given time, the champ you feel today, you look back on another day in the past and say, wow, what a chump I was. And by moving forward all the time, you are on a learning. You're on a learning curve. Probably the greatest tragedy that happens to people is when they stop learning, and then you get stale, you get stagnant, you get stuck. So the chump to champ thing is a metaphor for moving forward, for starting at point A, moving to point B, but then continuing to move on. And I think that one of the keys to this is realizing that we have to always have some kind of a dream out in front of us of something we're trying to become. When I think back of the 1988 Olympics, and Katarina Witt had a big shootout in women's figure skating. She was the East German, and she skated against Debbie Thomas from the U.S. And in the 88 Olympics, Debbie Thomas faltered a little bit, and Katarina Witt won the Olympic medal. So the story behind the story is that as Katarina Witt ascended to the top podium position to receive her gold medal in the Olympics that year for women's figure skating, miles and miles away in a little town in New Jersey was a five-year-old girl walking up makeshift boxes in her living room, pretending to be Katarina Witt, the Olympic champion.
On the podium?
Pretending in her living room. Her dad had made makeshift boxes, and her dad put a pretend medal around her neck. And the interesting thing is that 10 years later, almost to the night, that same little girl, now age 15, her name Tara Lipinski, wins the gold medal in women's figure skating in 1998, 10 years later.
Really?
Yeah. And so you ask yourself, wait a minute, where did that dream begin? And the dream began 10 years earlier.
In the living room.
In the living room, pretending to be Katarina Witt. Well, that's just an example of the power of a dream. A dream is an answer to the question, what do you want to be, what do you want to do, or what do you want to have at some point in the future?
Okay.
And if you don't ever decide that, if you don't ever think that way, guess where you end up?
Nowhere.
Well, you end up exactly kind of like where you are right now.
Right.
So in other words, there is no chump to champ journey. You're just the same person 5 years
from, cruising along.
5 years from now, do you want to be the same person 5 years from today that you are today?
Well, I sure hope not.
No, I hope not. I hope I make a chump to champ journey even from today, so that, you know, today's champ is tomorrow's chump.
Absolutely. So it starts with a dream.
It starts with a dream. And I remember hearing about the, there was a night when Tony Robbins, a famous author and speaker, he was on Larry King. Larry King asked him what he thought was a tough question. He said, why is it that so few people realize their full success in life, reach their full potential? And Tony Robbins shot back. He says, that's not a hard question at all. He says, the main reason is because they don't know what they want.
And I think that's very true.
Yeah. The dream is the answer to the question, what do I want? And I started my book with this as an example, because in my own life, while living in Minnesota, I think I shared with you, I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, fell in love with water skiing at age 21, and realized that my dream was to become a national water ski champion. But to have my dream, I was going to have to be willing to give up some things. And now, I don't recommend this for everyone, but I quit my job, sold the house, sold one car, and my wife and I, and Cindy and I have only been married a year and a half, we left all that behind. Because in order to be a national water ski champion, you can't live in a climate where the water skiing is 2 weeks in July when the ice fishing isn't so good.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Right, no.
Yeah.
So every time you have a dream that's really worth having, where you want to be, do, or have something new in the future, you have to, first of all, be willing to trade some part of what you are for something new. You have to give up old ideas. You have to give up some old habits. In my case, I gave up a location. Now, not everyone has to do that. But you have to be willing to give up something, maybe even some beliefs about yourself, in order to move on and let go of what you've got in order to have something new.
Well, and I think it's really interesting how you're talking about a dream. And there's no age cap on this. It starts at five. My children at 2-3 years old, from the time they could talk, they were already talking about dreams that they had. Mm-hmm. So I like what you're saying. So when you decide on a dream, you know, you don't have to just select one, right? You can have multiple dreams, or is it better to focus on one dream at a time?
What a great question, Tiffany. To start with, let's look across the landscape of our lives and realize that there's all these different departments. All right. Kevin McCarthy is an author from the Orlando area, and he wrote a book called The On Purpose Person, and he calls these different departments life accounts, which is, okay, I think, really good. So we have these different life accounts, sort of like checking accounts, all right? So I have a life account called family. I've got another life account called finances. I've got another life account called my career. I've got another life account called my physical being. Oh, and then there's my spiritual being, and there's my intellectual. There's also my social life. There's another life account. My community involvement. Do you hear all the different possibilities?
Wow. Yeah.
Now, I might have a dream, potentially, for each and every one of those. Maybe I have a dream for the kind of parent I want to be, right? And so that's in that one category. So in answer to your question, you could have lots of dreams, but can you reach them all at once? No.
So
no, you can't.
Kind of do like a process of elimination on which one is most important. Or I'm getting older, this one's probably I need to get on now. I could probably work on that one later.
Yeah, I think it's okay to have lots of dreams, but to reach a specific one, most experts tell us we can only focus on one or two at a time.
Without being able to, we can't give everything to
right
everywhere. You
right
spread yourself too thin.
Yeah, you do the best you can, you know, across the board, of course. And you are the sum total as a person. You're the sum total of all your dreams. But if you really want to make a chump to champ leap in an area, all right, okay, not just plod along and get a little bit better.
No, we want to really go.
But if you want to really go, and that was where I was with my skiing. I didn't want to just get a little bit better each year. I wanted to go from crashing off ski jumps in Minnesota
and broken ribs,
all the way to becoming a national champion. And you know, whatever area in your life where you feel the least satisfied, where do you have the greatest discontent at the moment? That's where you want to implement the four-step series that I'm going to teach people during the next 4 weeks, because the whole idea is about a chump to champ, almost quantum leap from where you are today to where you want to be. So you might start out by listing all your life accounts.
I think that's a good place to start.
I think it is.
And I've heard that a lot of times is that you should write it down. You know, you should get a piece of paper and kind of write things down, where I am, where I want to be, who I want to become.
Right.
And I think it's a good thing. So maybe we could put out some homework where everybody write down five dreams and like you said.
Say five different categories of their life.
Okay. And so maybe give us like five categories.
Okay, let's think of five categories. One might be career.
Okay.
Everything, you know, work-related would be a good starting place. Another one should be family.
Okay.
All right. Another one, probably, when I say family, that means my relationships with my kids, my relationship with my spouse, things like that. Another one should be our physical health.
Okay, so physical sports. Is that where yours would have fell into?
Physical health. In other words, how well are you taking care of your body?
Oh, so that's not the skiing one? No.
No?
Okay, physical health.
Right.
So this
physical
is totally
health,
different.
Right. Then you can have recreation.
No, there we go.
Recreation. So in case those people have a, you know, like I did, I had a hobby, really. And then we should have a category that has to do with our development as a person. By that I mean...
Spiritual?
Spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and while those are really three separate things, out of there you ought to find one for sure.
So our emotional health, our emotional well-being.
Yeah, emotional,
and
spiritual
all falls together.
Let's put emotional, spiritual then together.
Okay.
So there's five categories right there. And we, and people can, you know, pick other ones if they want to. And the idea would be, what is it you want to be, do, or have for each of those five? And then kind of play them against each other in order to come up with a ranking. Of those five areas, where am I least satisfied right now? Where is my greatest discontent? And where I really have a desire to change something in a major way and take a chump to champ journey.
Okay, so number one would be our least satisfied area that really needs the most work.
Yes.
And then we're going to
rank them. And where we want to do the most work. In other words, I'm least content, I want to make a change in this
now,
area.
Let me ask you this. Now, what are your thoughts on people making dreams that aren't achievable? You know, and a lot of people do. You know, I want to be an astronaut. Well, you know what? You know, there's a very minute amount of people that become astronauts, right?
Yeah. Walk on the moon. Well, Jackie Gleason had a line for that. I think he said to the moon.
Yeah, I'm not walking on the moon. Let's face that. Right. But we have to make them reasonable.
Right. I think we always have to check the desires of our heart. In other words, not intellectually what I think I might want, but actually check the desires of your heart. Because certain passions, certain desires of the heart were placed there in the beginning, in the clay from the very beginning. And if you follow the desires of your heart, the true, genuine, gut-wrenching feeling that I was meant to do more with this area in my life, then you are likely to be able to accomplish whatever you can dream in that area.
Yeah,
that's,
I believe that.
You understand? So in other words, passion is driving the dream, not some intellectual like, gee, I really would like to be a center for the Boston Celtics. Wouldn't that be fun? I'd have lots of money. I'd have lots of fame. I'd have lots of chicks. You know, I mean, all of that is a nice want to, but it probably isn't being driven by a desire of the heart unless you also happen to just absolutely love basketball and your whole life you've wanted to dribble a basketball and you happen to be blessed by, you picked your parents carefully and you happen to be, you know, 6'9".
Right.
All right. So, you know, there's some talents and
size
gifts
22.
That were put into the clay in the beginning that correspond with this.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think this is going to be so much fun. I'm really excited. So I'm going to make my list, and I think this will hopefully help a lot of us kind of, you know, I think this is falling in a perfect timing because New Year's Eve people kind of do this same thing, right? They make their list of things that they're hoping to change with the new year.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of starting a little earlier, and hopefully with your teachings, we're all going to make our New Year's resolutions this year. We're actually going to achieve them.
Yeah, we're going to achieve them. And there is a way to do exactly that. But most people don't have a plan. That's why many people even might have a dream but never realize
it.
Because they do not have a plan of action on how to change the dream from fantasy to fact.
Well, can everybody dream? You said earlier to me that not everybody knows how to dream. Really?
All right. No, that's good because I think there's some help I can give you with that even. How do we get the right half of our brain, which, by the way, is the creative part of our brain. This is where our imagination lives. How do we get it into gear thinking about the desires of our heart? How do we get the right half of our brain to start imagining what could be instead of what is? And I think the best way is to start asking yourself really good questions.
Okay.
And I've got some questions for you.
All right.
When we ask ourselves questions like, what would I do if suddenly I had unlimited financial resources? Other than pay my bills and get out of debt, what would I do if all of a sudden I had lots more money than I have now? And just, it's sort of a question you should answer quickly. What would I do with more money other than the obvious? Another question might be, what would you do if you found out you had a limited amount of time? Like, what if you learned you were going to live 6 months and that's it? 6 months in perfect health and then the lights go out. What would you do with your limited time if you knew that's all you had? What important thing would you pour yourself into?
Kind of like a bucket list. Did you see the movie Bucket List?
Yeah, it's sort
great
of like
movie.
That. Right. And here's my favorite question. What is it that you're busy doing when you feel the absolute best about you? And by the way, I can't take credit for these questions. I learned these from Brian Tracy. He's an author and written lots of stuff.
Say that again.
What am I busy doing when I feel the absolute best about me? What activity am I doing when I feel alive, when I feel proud of myself, when I feel full of the best that's in me? What activity am I doing? And you know, besides water skiing, which, you know, at one time that was what I felt best doing, I learned that as I grew a little bit and found my talents and my skills, in other words, the stuff that was put in the clay in the beginning, I found that one of the most fulfilling things for me is to teach, to stand in front of a group and teach, to speak in front of an audience and see the light come on when someone realizes a concept that I'm trying to teach. And so one of the things that people, you know, most fear in life is, you know, speaking in front of an audience. Absolutely one of the most fun things I can do.
And I'm with you. I mean, I noticed before I worked in radio, I worked in TV. And I had a bunch of friends that worked in TV, and my godfather is a very famous ESPN sports commentator. So I've always been around it, and I found a huge love for entertainment. And, you know, with TV, you always start from the bottom up. And I started as a PA, and let me tell you, I was the grunt of grunts. I was the grunt, uh-huh. You know, and that's how I started. But I would have worked for free.
Right.
It didn't matter to me. I loved it. And the longer the hours were, and the more I was sweating, and the more I was running, the more I was loving it.
Yes.
You know?
And that was what you just said. There was one of the keys is, do you love it so much that you would do it for free?
Right.
Now, we can't do that all the time because we have to eat, right?
Yeah, true, true.
But the truth, the fact is that if you love it so much that you would do it for free, that's an indication of a true passion in your heart.
We got a passion.
And passion is so important because it's the energy that fuels the work that must be done. So let's not skip over the fact that there's going to be some work here.
Right.
To go from chump to champ, there is some hard work that has to be done.
Well,
And so if you've gotten through the asking myself the questions, you know, all right, what do I love doing? What would I do for free? What am I doing when I feel the best about me? I start to get a picture in my head of this person I want to be, or
your
this thing I want
to
do.
Yeah,
your dream starts to become clearer. And then the harsh reality hits that my dream circle, which is this big, is bigger than my resource circle. A resource circle is my time, my energy, my talent. And usually when we start out, our resource circle is smaller than our dream circle. And we go, oh my, I don't have those skills yet. Oh my, I don't know if I have enough time to do this. Oh, I don't have enough money. So here's where the rubber meets the road. Because at that moment, many people give up on their dream, Tiffany. Because they realize their resource circle isn't as big as their dream circle, and they get discouraged, and they say, oh, I'd like to have that. I'd like to be that. I'd like to do that. But, you know.
And you know what I think? And when you say that, you know what the first thing that comes to my mind is that there's so many parents out there that wanted to play baseball or wanted to play basketball. Like, for instance, my father. He went to try out for a basketball team in high school. And he couldn't get on the team. He could not make it. So you know what he told himself? My children will never be in this situation. They will, if they want to try out, they will be able to make any team. So from the time I could walk, I learned to dribble, I could throw, I could, you know, but my dad taught me and my brother how to be so athletic in all the different areas that I had never in my life tried out for a team and didn't make it. You know, he had me very well prepared. But I think what happens is a lot of people, when they don't achieve their dream, they kind of live through that dream through their children.
Yes, sure. We've been talking about those kind of parents.
Yes, they live through their children because, you know, it's as close as they're ever going to get, right?
Yeah, that's right. Instead of letting their children have their own dreams because a different passion was placed inside their children than what was placed inside of you.
Right. So we're gonna learn how to reach our personal dreams.
Yes.
And live our dreams.
Live our own dreams, but also teach our children how they can live their dream. See, how can you teach?
They'll learn from us.
Yeah. How can you teach your children to be successful in life and to master these basic life lessons if you don't understand them yourself? If you have not had a dream yourself, you cannot fathom your children having a dream. In fact, their dream might just sound ludicrous to you, right? But if you understand the nature of a dream, This is this fantasy in your head of what could be that is not, but what could be.
This is so important.
If you understand that concept, then when your kids say, Dad, I do want to play Major League Baseball, and I love baseball more than anything else, you know, you can say, well, son, then let's work hard together and let's just go for it. Instead of saying something like, oh, come on, do you know what percentage of kids make it?
Yeah.
Do you know how small that group is? You know, come on, let's get real. And that's, those are dream killers. And there's lots of dream killers around, people who steal your dream because they tell you the statistics that are against you.
Right.
And the statistics, but why not be one of the statistics that makes it?
But all of us parents want to see our children succeed. And if we have the right, if we have the ability to teach our children how to go through the four steps that we're going to go through now, mm-hmm. how to dream, how to achieve their dreams and so forth, you know, we're going to feel so fulfilled as people too. I mean, I know I will if
sure.
I can give my kids the right direction and give them what hopefully we're going to all learn through this.
Yeah. We teach them, I guess, how to win at life, not necessarily what to win at. Let them pick what they want to win at.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to the resource circle and the dream circle for
okay.
a second.
So we have time, energy.
Time, energy, and talent.
Okay.
All right. And talent, by the way, is not the same as skill. Talent is what was put in the clay in the beginning. These are the gifts that you were received, the cards you were dealt. And you must take those talents and turn them into skills. And the way you do that is by doing the work, the hard work. Talents become skills. So you're born with talent, but not born with skills. And the athletes, for instance, if we're talking about athletics, to make it, you have to get your skills to such a level that you are in the upper, you know, elite level to be a professional athlete. Not quite so much to be a great college player and not quite so much to be a high school player. So your skills will depend on how hard you work. Well, here's what happens. People look at the resource circle and they have a choice they have to make. I either can work hard to expand my resource circle to match my dream circle, or I have to decide to shrink my dream circle to match my resource circle, right? And that's when you give up on your dream.
That's when the problem occurs.
That's when the problem occurs. So if you're willing to do the work, you say, okay, I don't know how far I can go, but I know how far I want to go, and I'm willing to do the work to expand my resource circle, expand my talent, expand my energy, expand my financial resources to get as far as I can go. And there's great stories about people in every endeavor who have made the kind of sacrifices to take their resource circle to the dream circle level and even beyond. Think of the people who have gone beyond. There's a pitcher who used to pitch for the Dodgers a number of years ago, Valenzuela. Fernando Valenzuela was from a small town in Mexico. And I remember hearing the story many years ago about how he grew up picking beans. His family were poor, poor family in a small village in Mexico. And his father would go out and toil the fields and pick beans. And then he taught his children how to go out in the fields and pick beans. And they were paid, you know, a small amount of money for each day that they picked beans. But Fernando Valenzuela wanted to be a baseball pitcher. And so whenever he could, he would play local baseball. And they found that he had this great talent for pitching, this great, you know, passion for it. And his passion and his talent turned into skills. And, you know, his father and his brothers kept saying, well, at least his brothers kept saying, you know, hey, pick beans. At least you'll make, you know, $9 a week picking beans here, rather than chasing this crazy dream of playing professional baseball. Well, we all know he chased the dream and he became an absolute stellar star in Major League Baseball for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the story was that there were little radios and radio stations that would light up across Mexico only on the nights that Fernando Valenzuela would pitch for the Dodgers, that on those nights everyone would gather around their radios in Mexico to listen to him pitch, because he was one of those who had taken his tiny little resource circle and expanded it to match his dream circle. So when El Toro pitched, everybody was there to cheer him on.
Wow, what a great story.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of similar to the Rudy Rudiger story.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, and you know, he was the first one. They always said, you know, people like us aren't meant to go to Notre Dame. We're not meant to be in the school. And after he went through it, many of his family members followed.
Oh, yes.
And graduated Notre Dame just as he would. But if he had not have graduated, all of those people behind him never would have even attempted, because he showed them that you can dream and you can reach your dream.
Sure.
Like
sure.
he did.
And notice that Rudy wanted to be a football star at Notre Dame, and he did not accomplish that.
No.
No, he didn't accomplish being a football star, but he accomplished more than he ever probably maybe accomplished more than what others thought he could.
Oh,
he believed he believed in his dream, and he actually got to play what only one play according to the movie. He got out there for one play.
Actually, he played two plays. Yeah, and on the second play, he sacked the quarterback.
Oh, that's right.
He sacked the quarterback.
So the point is, he accomplished more than perhaps, maybe even more than what his talent warranted. Because
oh, yeah.
just from hard work, and Rudy's story is really about perseverance, isn't it? More than right. anything else.
Well, and he couldn't read. You know, he was, I can't think of the term for it.
Dyslexia?
Yes, he was dyslexic. Yeah. And didn't realize that until he started at the junior college there.
So he had a learning disability besides, right. And these are the kinds of stories that do inspire us. So does it mean that we can have absolutely everything in life? No, it means you can have anything for which you have a passion for and you're willing to do the work.
I think this is going to be wonderful.
Dream big.
Homework tonight. And before next week, we would like for everyone to write down 5 of your dreams. Please put them in order. As you said, number one being...
The area of your life where you feel the greatest discontent, where you know that you'd like to make a chump to champ quantum leap, a big improvement. And that might be the one you decide to choose first. Or, now sometimes people will list their 5 areas and they'll say, no, I'm going to take something in the middle that isn't quite so hard for me, but that where I want to see some success. So I might pick number 3.
But that might be a good place
That's
for some
okay
people
too.
To start, because if you achieve something,
yep.
then you've shown yourself, look, I can do it.
Yep.
And then maybe reach for a little more difficult dream.
Exactly.
All right. So, me and David have talked, and we're going to make this really fun. Not like it's not enough fun as it is, but we are going to hold a little Q&A at the end of our series of 4. And at the end, we're going to offer some free prizes to the winners that can answer the questions that involve the next 4 series that we're going to do. So take your notes and listen carefully, and then be sure to listen on that 5th Monday where we'll be giving away some free stuff, and it will be a copy.
If people are interested in the book, From Chump to Champ, they can get it through my website, which is growingchampionsforlife.org. And the short version is actually growingchamps.org. And by ordering the book through my website, you will get an autographed copy. You can also get the book through amazon.com. which is fine, but you won't get an autographed copy.
And you don't want to do that. The book is fantastic. I've read it. I've passed it along to a couple of people who have read it, and it's just a fantastic book. You think he's crazy when you read these chapters. I looked at him, I said, I cannot believe after all the stuff you went through, you are still doing this. But he is a person that really learned how to dream big. And he gave up a lot to reach his dreams. I had to ask you this, but I mean, when you're selling your house and packing up your life and you're moving on, does it ever cross your mind that you're not going to achieve that dream? Or was it at that point, I will make it no matter what it takes?
No, I really believe that I knew how the story was going to end. I didn't know all the extras that would come along with it that I never anticipated. Some extra bonuses that came with just for sticking with the dream. But while I knew there was a great risk involved, I had a feeling of faith, and I just believed that I knew how the story was going to end, so why not do it? And my family was supportive. It was more of our friends who looked at us like we were crazy. But I think everyone would like to chase their dream.
Oh, absolutely. So, David, you'll be back with us when?
Next Monday, 1:30 again. And we'll take the second step in the 4-step process. What comes after the dream? Oh, it's a really important step. And it's one that people have heard a lot about, but actually very few people know how to do it correctly.